In our Palm Sunday story that we heard at the beginning of the service from Luke, it ends with an interesting choice of words from Jesus. The rocks will cry out if everyone were to be silent. We have this story every year, and when we do so, it causes me to dig deeper and to think deeper and to come up with something new to say every year. It got me thinking about these rocks. Is this just happenstance that Jesus chose these words, or was there something to it? I did some research. I found out that the earth itself hums at a very low frequency. It's true. Something called the Schumann resonance. It's a very low frequency. And for as long as it's been measured until 2014, it hovered at about 7.8 hertz. Suddenly then, in 2014, the frequency has gone up significantly. It's doubled. In some cases, it's spiked and even tripled into the 30s. Apparently, some scientists say it's affecting everything, all of us. Affecting our minds and hearts, our brain chemistry, our behavior, everything around us in ways that we don't know, we're not aware of. Now, before you might dismiss all this as some sort of new agey sort of nonsense, consider that human beings aren't as attentive to things as other creatures are, animals. Animals can sense all kinds of things that we are not able to. Many animals have a greater sense of hearing, of sight, of smell. In 2004, before the Asian tsunami, the Indian Ocean tsunami, the animals knew about it before even it was detected on radar. Animals, especially dogs, have been known to detect disease. Cancer tumors, they can sniff out landmines. Birds use magnetic fields in the earth in order to navigate. How do you think they find their way every year to the exact same spots? We need a GPS. They do it naturally. So, maybe we're missing some things. Maybe there are some things going on. Maybe there's some truth to this sort of rocks crying out. If we were to be quiet, maybe we would hear it. Maybe there was something going on that day. Maybe Jesus sensed it. This buzz that was going on. We've all been a part of something like that where we felt something special happening. There was a buzz in the air, something exciting about to start. It's a spirit that we all share, right? I think that was in effect that day. It affected everyone that was around, and people spontaneously began to travel with Jesus into Jerusalem. Affected their hearts and minds. Parades are popular. They've always been popular. They've always been a part of our culture. There's different kinds of parades that we have. One kind of parade is the impressive, showy kind of parades. Glamour, outfits, bands, floats, things that are planned well in advance. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, the Rose Bowl Parade takes all year to assemble those floats, carefully putting those flowers in. If you've ever been there and you've seen where they store the floats, it's impressive. The Mardi Gras Parade, another impressive parade. Then there's the other kind of parades, the parades that are more spontaneous. They might be planned a little bit in advance, but they're more of a protest march. Marches that Martin Luther King did across the Selma Bridge, a march of some 54 miles in the civil rights era. Before that, in 1930, the Salt March that Gandhi did in India. 240 miles people marched in protest of the British rule and the unfair taxation of salt, simple thing, simple commodity. So we have parades that were designed to be watched. We have parades that were designed to participate in, right? Many scholars believe that at the time of Jesus' march, that there was another march going on in Jerusalem, into Jerusalem, and that was of the familiar figure of Pontius Pilate. Now, during most of the year, Pontius Pilate, the governor of the region, was at his summer beach house in Caesarea, okay, on the Mediterranean. But during Passover, the population of Jerusalem doubled, tripled, maybe even quadrupled, if you can believe that. So Pilate came in. And when Pilate came in, he came in with a contingent of soldiers with armor and swords and shields, with their horses. And of course, they made people get out of the way. They wanted to make sure to remind everyone who was in charge here, the Romans were, that these Jews don't get out of hand. Watch out. They wanted to promote fear, make an impression. It was a parade to watch. Jesus' parade, though, was a parade, I think, to participate in. There was singing, praising, maybe even dancing. I added that in there, but I think there was probably dancing. I picture a scene that was like a mob, a very spontaneous scene. People said, "Hey, look who's in town, and Jesus is here." And people grabbed whatever they could, branches from the trees. They had whatever they had on their backs, they spread out in front of him, cloaks. Instead of horses with armor and swords and shields, Jesus had a simple donkey, borrowed from a simple man probably, and I think probably returned, hopefully returned. Jesus talks about simple things, rocks, branches from trees, cloaks, the things that are not made of human hands, the things that are natural, the things that are godly. It was a march of hope as opposed to fear. It was a march to inspire, not to try and submit the people, oppress them. What if the rocks really were singing that day? God was causing a vibration in the earth, trying to tell people what was going on. What if these spikes in this frequency that scientists tell us about, something that's right under our feet, what if those things are telling us something, or God trying to tell us something, telling us to join in, listen a little bit more carefully, and if we feel it, grab something, grab whatever you can, grab the gifts that you bring. Participate in the groundswell. Do you sense it? Do you feel it? Do you feel a buzz in the air? It's Holy Week. Do you feel a heightened sense of purpose? A heightened spirituality, maybe? It's not a passive parade. It's not a parade where we sit on the corner and expect candy to be thrown our way, like a 4th of July parade. No, we get in behind in this parade. We raise our branches. We raise our voices. We sing. We praise God with our feet, with our actions. We join the liberation movement of freedom. Don't let your dog be the one to get your attention that there's something going on. Listen for it. Pray. Trust your gut. Trust your instinct to act. Listen for the Spirit. Walk with Jesus. Jesus who does, yes, challenge us, but also challenges oppression, the things that hold us back. Jesus challenges the guilt that we carry around with saying that we can be free of that. Jesus challenges fear. Jesus challenges the violence, saying that there is another way, a way not of sword and shield and warfare, but of peace. Don't let the rocks be the ones shouting. If you can hear the rocks, if you can hear the hum of the earth, we are being awfully quiet. Make it known that you are a follower of God somehow, a follower of Christ. Tell someone about the awesome works of God in your life. Testify. Testify about God's good news to somebody, somehow. Share peace with them. Share comfort to them. Share what Jesus shared with his disciples this week. Share the fact that God will not leave them, that God did not forget about them. Sing hosannas now. Sing them now to give us the strength for what is to come. Crosses of a different sort of parade that we're also called to participate in. At least on this Palm Sunday, things are the way they should be. It's the high water mark of the Jesus movement, I think. People that were pushed aside, lepers, blind, people with diseases that couldn't be cured, people raised from the dead, tax collectors, people thought of as evil, have been forgiven. What if they were part of that parade? What if Zacchaeus was there? What if the woman who was told never to sin again, what if she was there as well? It doesn't say. Why not? All these people and the Pharisees saw come into the gates. Keep them quiet. Keep them quiet. We don't want them here. We don't want anything to spoil this festival. Well, Jesus' encouragement should encourage us. Despite the fact that we fail, just as his disciples failed, we know what happens later that week. Denial, betrayal, people leaving Jesus' side so that he was almost alone. Despite that fact, Jesus still invites us. Jesus knows what's about to come. It's an interesting juxtaposition, isn't it? You can imagine what's going through Jesus' mind. He does seem to enjoy it. If you read between the lines, I think he is. Despite the fact that he knows in 5 days, many of these same people will be shouting, "Crucify him," he still, I think, would encourage us to join in the movement and to enjoy the movement while it lasts. That doesn't mean, even though we will fail, that we are not invited to share in praise moments with Jesus in this height of Lent, in this height of the Passion story. Don't let your feelings of unworthiness or guilt or shame keep you on the sidelines just watching Jesus pass by. No, join the movement, feel the joy. Feel the buzz of the Spirit of God this week, today, and beyond. Amen.